You're on 121.5, the emergency frequency.
Welcome to the 21.5 Show, a podcast for professional pilots by professional pilots. Join Dylan and Max, both with experience in flight instruction, the airlines, and business aviation, as they talk to a variety of industry experts, share stories, and have a little fun along the way.
I'm doing the intro this time. City, coast to coast, around the world. It's the show for the pros, 21.5. All the stuff you hate. I snuck it all in. Welcome back. It's the Slackers, Dylan and Max, with you for another episode. Thank you for bearing with us. It's been a little rough getting these episodes out over the holidays, Max.
Yeah, you're telling me.
it's like we actually are working now. That's the problem.
I know. What is this?
How can we focus on our full-time podcasting or top 45 aviation podcast when
full-time podcasting and life of leisure?
Yeah, sure. The struggle is real. Thanks for joining us, though, folks. Another exciting episode. Looking forward to sharing with you. First, I think we've got some important public service announcements to share with everyone, though.
Go ahead, because this would be news
to
me.
Yes. Are you a pilot who is intimidated by the word airman? Do you feel uncomfortable reading publications with the word airman in it? Have no fear. Your friends at the Federal Aviation Administration have your back. With one word, mission. This notice to
a
air
lot of people still
stuff.
Probably have no idea what you're talking about, because last night I was flying and on the ATIS it said notice to air mission and had like some notum that was in the digital ATIS, and the captain goes, look at this, they made a typo on the ATIS. And I'm like, no dude, that's what it's called now. He's like, what, are you serious?
I was like, yeah. Do you remember how much what it was like when we switched from position and hold to line up and wait? And it was just like every time I'd fly with a captain and you're just sitting there like, I don't know why you're complaining to me. Like, I have something to do with this, but
humans
I
don't feel like that's going to be the, that's like when they changed from, you know, the different USB ports on Apple does, and, you know, and they changed the charger on the iPhone. No, everybody freaks out and then
everybody
falls
hates
in the line.
Now it is. It is what it is. So that was one fun adventure. This week in aviation, but I have another one for you. Ready?
Are you a pilot who enjoys shooting instrument approaches? Do you sometimes reference the radio altimeter? Not anymore.
Oh, because of the 5G?
5G internet. Are you a cell phone company looking for faster data transmission?
that whole thing came out like yesterday. The actual restrictions, I think December 8th.
I was flying all day yesterday, so please fill me in.
The FAA order applies to some 6,834 transport and commuter aircraft equipped with radio altimeters, meaning essentially the entire U.S. commercial fleet plus many business and general aviation aircraft. And that's, they're basically issued a sweeping order prohibiting aircraft from using certain landing and navigation systems in areas of potential interference from the 5G cellular networks.
So
this is basically like Cat 2, Cat 3 approach.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of what I'm leaning towards. Now, do you guys do that?
Mm-hmm.
I've never flown an airplane that can do Cat 2, Cat 3, so.
Yeah. Essentially, you read your decision altitude on radar altimeter instead of Barrow.
Yeah.
You used to.
Yeah, well, it says in certain areas, right?
Yeah, so I guess I don't know if they're going to identify this. If they're going to have, like, a notum for every approach. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's crazy. What does the article say that clearly you're reading that I don't have privy access to?
Well, it doesn't say anywhere specifically. It just says the FAA is working closely with the FCC and cellular companies. The FAA believes the expansion of 5G in aviation will safely coexist. Today, we took an important step by issuing two airworthiness directives.
Oh.
So, I mean, yeah.
I did get an email from our company that said that basically that the odds of interference with the installed radio altimeter system is highly unlikely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know if that was good enough for the FAA.
Yeah, apparently not.
Well, good for them. You know, they're really taking these important issues by the reins. This NOTAM to notice to air mission situation. I'm really glad that got taken care of.
Finally.
They don't have any bigger
fish. The actual NOTAMs themselves are still unreadable. Meanwhile, you know, with the coded language and everything.
Meanwhile, they just continue to dangle this carrot of this new experimental flight test period advisory circular revision that they're supposed to issue any day now for the last 3 months. That would
that's
help absolve me of this 40 hours of flying by myself. And, you know,
yeah, the struggle is real. Yeah, I'm sure that's the forefront of their docket.
These things just take time.
Welcome to the show, folks. I guess we're a little out of practice here, but got some fun topics. You know, I think the listeners, well, will they be excited or maybe bored? We've got to check in with Ted finally after all these many months. I'll put that at the end of the episode.
Warnings to young aviators.
Yeah. Ted's got a lot of thoughts. Spoiler alert, Ted is now a father, so I think he's got a lot of thoughts on raising a child while commuting. So I'll put that at the end of the episode, so the Ted fans have something to look forward to, and those that
the haters can just
kind of shut it off there. So
it's stuff. Like Howard Stern, but if they hate them, why do they listen?
It's the way it is. All right. Well, let's kick things off by checking out what people are saying about the show in the reviews column.
Please.
Dylan and Max rock. This podcast hits a perfect blend of humor, professionalism, and great advice. I'm a bit late to the show, but have been enjoying catching up. I listen to these on long runs, and it makes the time fly by. Yep, pun intended. Anyways, thanks for the great work, guys. Keep it up and appreciate you. And that's from Dobertsky. Thanks, Dobertsky.
Definitely a top 44 aviation podcast. People have really just grasped onto that.
Yeah, I know.
I love the West Coast rap intro, though. It leaves me with an image of two pasty white guys in New Balances head bobbing to the tunes. They have some good stuff and occasionally funny. I really enjoy the show. However, they have yet to answer the greatest mystery of the show. How did Dylan marry Max's sister? By NZ1111. That's a good question, Dylan.
Well, I mean, I think I'm wondering how he words this. Like, how did Dylan marry Max's sister? As in, like, how did Max let this happen? Is that what he's asking? Is he questioning your...
I think
so. Or is it like, Dylan's a moron. I've been listening to him for 3 years now. Like, how did that happen?
I think it's the former.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you can go to episode 57 because my wife and I, Lindsay, jumped on and actually told the story of how we kind of fell in love or kind of met it by happenstance, thanks to a Delta jump seater of all things. So you can get a good start from there. And then maybe we'll tell more of the story at a later
if you're really interested, you can connect with Dylan on LinkedIn and direct message him about the situation.
Thanks to everyone who wrote us a review. I'm happy to send you some stickers as a sign of gratitude. Just shoot us an email and with your address and I will shoot some stickers your way. Speaking of stickers, the first email in our mailbag talks about stickers. Of course, our mailbag is brought to you by our friends at Advanced Air Crew Academy, creating all of the training goodness that your flight department needs. Go to aircrewacademy.com to check out their offerings. All right, into the mailbag we go. This one says, ripping the 21.5 sticker from my laptop.
I know. I was a little offended when I first read that.
I know. I was shocked. It says, "Hey, Dylan and Max. Today I ripped the 21.5 sticker from my laptop. A regular listener since episode one. I was done. That was it. No more." What happened? Well, I quit my high-paying information technology career to follow my passion. The 21.5 sticker had to go as I was turning in my work laptop, where the sticker often reminded me that there were better days to come. I've started flying citations for a 135 shop out of Indy. Sure, with my hours, I could have gone to the airlines, but general aviation is what I love. Oh, don't worry. I'll still be using JEP charts and complaining about hotels and riding in the back of the Airbus when repositioning back home for long layovers, just like the big 121 pilots. Thanks for a great show. Keep it fun. And that's from Michael. Congratulations, Michael. Welcome back.
That's always encouraging.
Yeah.
Coming back to we've encouraged the dark someone side to as go a whole, fly. Really, which is aviation.
Max, we really need to pat ourselves on the back. We encourage someone to go fly 135 on demand right now. We're real heroes.
He's got a love
just
for the craft.
Just what you want to be doing right now.
Yeah, right?
During the holidays. Well, as long as you don't want to be home, Michael, I think you'll be good. As long as you're just logging a lot of flight time. Congrats, though. Seriously, thanks for writing in. These are the kind of emails that we really enjoy receiving. It makes us happy to do the show. So what's next in the mailbag?
Hi, Max and Dylan. My name is Kimberly Perkins. I fly a Gulfstream 650, but had previous 121 time at the regionals years ago. I'm also a runner and listen to your podcast while running. Love the banter and various viewpoints. Albeit, can we have more women pilot guests, please? Along with piloting, I'm a doctoral researcher working on my PhD at the University of Washington. I'm doing cognitive science research on aviation safety systems, CRM, SMS, etc. I'm conducting cognitive science research on crew resource management. Would you please help them by taking the survey? And it's 34 questions of mostly multiple choice. It shouldn't take more than 10 minutes. Your input is anonymous and very much appreciated. Participation in this survey aids the ongoing research on aviation, human performance, human factors, and safety culture. Kimberly. I will take the survey. Dylan?
I already
did. Can I get a commitment from you to take the survey?
I already did.
Is 10 minutes accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's about right. It's just on a Google Doc or a Google form. It's super easy and helpful. So happy to help out. Thanks for reaching out, Kimberly. We will maybe have to check in with you and find out what the results are.
Yeah, I think we need to have her on the show.
Yeah.
Once
absolutely
it's finished and to discuss.
You know, that's and it actually talks about in that her survey about like what's the CRM training you've been doing at your operation, and it's goes back to what we always talk about. Hey, you know, at Part 91, there really, for a lot of folks, there isn't any required training. You're probably not going to get maybe a little bit at the schoolhouse, but, you know, it's kind of up to you to create something or seek something out. So I thought that was a good reminder, like, hey, there's a lot more we could be doing CRM-wise. I remember at the airlines that the training was so good.
Oh, yeah. And now it's insane. They have like all these models and graphics and things, but it seems kind of when you're going through it, it's like, oh, you know, the green and the yellow and the red and all this, like, you know, it sounds like a preschool class and you're coloring, but at the end, it actually is, it's no joke. It's useful stuff, I find. But I'm not sure, you know, I would love to see like some sort of analysis of the CRM differences of in an airline situation when you fly with a different person almost every time versus a Part 91 business aviation where you fly with the same person every single time. I think that's a huge difference in the cockpit dynamic, right? And the difference of standardization and how important or unimportant it is in the difference between those two and all these CRM training and all this stuff, like there is something to be said flying with the same person all the time.
Yeah, it's a good point. Good point. So anyways, go take that survey and we'll circle back with Kimberly when she's got the results. I think that'd be interesting. Last email. I wanted to say I thought you had a great interview with Jim Dunn at Flexjet. Not only did it cover an interesting segment of GA, but also highlighted there are other companies out there other than NetJets. Also, great advice offered to the pilot with the coworker who may have had one too many on occasion. These are the kind of real-world situations that corporate and GA professional pilots face. A couple other quick things. You said your Apple Watch adjusts the speed of playback while in the shower. Don't you put it in water mode? No, I don't. I didn't even know what that was. Clearly. He says, swipe up, select the raindrop, prevent that problem. This, I mean, now I think we're good. What, this is why we created the show, Max. I said earlier it was to help encourage people to get into aviation, but I think it's really to solve
I'm
my
surprised
personal
Roy didn't
technology.
Immediately text you and tell
Maybe
you about this,
from Roy.
Additional functionality that was unrealized on your watch.
And then he also says a couple suggestions on the layover guides, plane spotting locations in that area, and maybe places to volunteer in that area if someone has time to kill. Why not put your time to good use? Thanks for a great podcast. Keep up the good work. It sounds great at any speed. What a compliment. Thank you, Mark. Plane spotting. Folks are going to have to send me those because that's not really on my radar. I guess like if you think of a good like bar that's like overlooking the runway like we have in Scottsdale
that's perfect
landing in Denver. That's how I would think of plane spotting. Yeah. Like the people where the actual like real photographer dudes go.
The street from the In-N-Out.
I'm happy if you know the spot, send it to me and I'll put it on there. But I don't really. It's not on my list. But I like the volunteering idea. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Never thought about that, but that would be really cool. Cool. Thanks for the email, Mark. And I think Mark also Max a big announcement here.
Go ahead.
Mark purchased the last can cooler.
Yay.
We did it. Against all odds, we sold can coolers in the middle of winter. Brilliant. Next, we'll be coming out with our custom 21.5 board shorts. We'll be selling in January.
Selling in January?
It's sun umbrellas. So thank you, Mark, for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. We are going to make an order for some new custom Yeti stuff here. I'm going to wait till the day after Christmas when everything goes on sale, and then we'll get something sweet.
Great.
Probably go back to coffee cups, you think?
I don't know, Dylan.
Who knows?
So many possibilities.
So many possibilities. We'll see. More season appropriate this time. So thanks for supporting the show, Mark. Got an email from last thing in the mailbag. Got an email from our friend Rob Alston at Harvey Watt. He wanted to let us know they're doing the simplified issuance for life insurance that they usually do every year. So we've talked about the life insurance many times on the show before. There's no exclusions except suicide for the first 2 years. But professional pilots and their spouses can now apply up to $150,000 for new coverage by only answering a couple of questions with no physical required. I did this a few years ago. It was super easy. Just fill it out and get your coverage. So visit harveywatt.com for more information and to apply for that. Thanks for letting us know, Rob.
Well, with that being said, Dylan, life insurance can be a very important part of your overall financial plan, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Which brings us to our first guest, Timothy Pope, a financial planner, specializes in aviation. We had a great talk with him. Let's just get right into it.
Here we go. I think we had one official saying when we started the show, and that was like, oh, flexibility is the key to air power. But I think we've actually sold more merchandise and maybe are more recognized for the never take financial advice from a pilot slogan. Don't you think?
Yeah, that one did seem to garner more reaction.
So here's my problem,
sure.
Is I always seem to end up talking about, I don't know why pilots are always talking about money. We're talking about investments all the time. And I think it kind of dawned on us that it really made a lot of sense for us to find a good expert to help us with all this so we don't break our number two rule, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny. I fly with a lot of people and they're like, yeah, when I get home from this trip, I'm going to hammer out this half of my driveway and I got a cement mixer rented and I'm going to re-pour it and do all this and blah, blah. And I'm like, have you ever considered just sticking to what you're good at? So like maybe just go pick up a trip and hire somebody that does that. And then it's a lot less work to just sit on the airplane and do your job and let them do their job. And you'll probably end up with money left over if you just go fly instead of doing that. And they're like, yeah, you know, I didn't really think about that. And I'm like, really? Like that, that's on there. And you would think that that's funny and obvious and I'm making that up, but that stuff like that is all the time where pilots are trying to get their hands into stuff. And it's like, this is, you know, this can be the easiest job in the world. So why don't you just do that and let other people do so. And I think managing money might be one of those examples where people spend all this time and energy and this and that and putting their retirement savings and things that are actually, you know, they're risking more than just their time of jackhammering out their driveway. It's a, you know, doing something stupid at the wrong time can have really long reaching effects into your retirement and stuff. So anyway, that's what I always say. Money management might be something that's good and left up to the professionals. So.
That's right. And we've got a professional on the line with us.
Incoming, right. In comes Tim.
So we'd like to introduce everyone to our friend, our new partner, Tim Pope. He's a financial advisor in Charlotte, North Carolina with Cetera Investors. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hey, thanks guys for having me. And I think it's pretty brave of you to bring out a pilot after having sold so much merch that said, never take financial advice from a pilot. So.
Okay. Now, yeah, we should get that out of the way. You are a pilot, but I think that what we really should say is not a professional pilot. Don't take financial advice from a professional pilot, right?
Yeah.
That's right. So I am a GA pilot as well as a certified financial planner. Yep.
Awesome. Well, we're certainly excited to have you as a new resource for the show. It's surprising how often we get questions from folks asking about money. And in fact, we've got one. So we wanted to bring you in for a flight advice, our typical flight advice segment here. We got a good one, I think, pretty relevant. And
we're going to follow our own rules and not give financial advice. That's why we brought you in.
I guess before we dive in, as with other professionals, you have some legal disclaimers you have to share.
Yeah, exactly. This is.
But hold on, before we put everyone to sleep, let's put some music on. Should we make it easy? We were talking about in the show meeting. We're like, if we could hire Donovan Batiste to do this for you, that would be ideal. But we can't. So at least we'll get some West Coast music for you here. But go ahead.
That's funny. Yeah. So this is obnoxious. So here we go. All right. So I'm a financial advisor offering securities and insurance products offered through Cetera Investment Services, LLC, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Cetera Investment Advisors, LLC, registered office address 5277 Center Drive, Suite 330, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217. How obnoxious is that?
That was killer. Tim, that was awesome.
That was great. That was great. You were right there.
It's hard not to get pulled into the West Coast.
Okay. So here it is, Tim. The emailer says, "Hey guys, excited to report that I've finally been hired by a major airline. Looking forward to my first adventure in the airline world and hopefully my final job. My family is very excited for a predictable schedule, travel benefits, et cetera." Although we'll talk about the travel benefits stuff later. I don't know if that's a benefit, but just one problem. First year pay sucks. I'll be taking a significant pay cut over my last job, and I'm starting to stress about how to make ends meet until I can get up to second year pay. Thinking about not contributing to retirement for my first year, going with a cheaper healthcare plan, and maybe even take out a loan on my 401k from a previous employer. I know Max recently went through this. Any advice on how to get through this with a family to feed? Thanks. And we'll call him broke in the big leagues. So I think this is a real relevant question, Tim, because I the major airlines, we talked to James. He said 5,000 people are going to get hired next year coming in, and many of them are going to take a significant pay cut that first year. So,
yeah, I took over a six-figure pay cut the first year at the airlines from the job I left. I mean, that's kind of just part of the game.
So any thoughts on this, Tim? Not contributing to retirement, borrowing against 401k? I mean, those are kind of some big decisions. What do you think?
Yeah, so those are huge, right? And I'd say, first, congratulations to Broke in the Big Leagues. And secondly, like, he's in a relatable position. Like you guys were talking to James, and Max, you said that you've taken the cut as well, and it's significant. But I think there are some major decisions to be made. And there's a lot that's in that question. So I'm just kind of take it, as we see. So, the first thing is he's taken a major pay cut. So he's thinking about not contributing to the retirement plan at work. I'm okay with that. With most of the major airlines, you're getting a non-discriminatory profit sharing contribution anyway, in the neighborhood of, and you guys can correct me here, but, in the neighborhood of 15 or 16%. So you still have money going into the retirement account. So I'm okay with that. The second piece that he talked about is thinking about doing cheaper healthcare. So by cheaper healthcare, I imagine he's talking about a high deductible plan. And honestly, millions of families are doing the high deductible plan. If your family is healthy and it's not like, hey, we've got this medical issue. My wife or my children have this medical issue, but I'm just going to try to risk it for a year. Like if that's not the case and everybody is generally healthy, I've got no problem with a high deductible plan. You're going to decrease your premiums and, in a year it's going to go by fairly quickly. So that makes a lot of sense. As we go down to the loan from a previous employer, and probably thankfully for Broken the Big Leagues, like that's 99% of the time, that's not possible. Like after you've separated from your previous employer, typically they're going to make you pay that loan back pretty quickly, 60 days or your next top tax filing deadline. So either way, I don't think that that's really an avenue for him. And I'm not a big proponent of taking a loan from the 401k in any ways for a number of reasons. There are ways for him to get those assets out. But again, I'm not going to encourage it because, it's got to be with penalty, likely. There's going to be taxes and he's going to have an inability to pay it back. Right. So loan from a previous employer is a no-go there. And then I like to think about, so from his perspective, so there's a lot going on, right? Huge pay cut, but I like to call this like mindset over mechanics. So, he's looking at some ways to reduce expenses, which is good. And I think he's going to have to do that further, right? Like it's unrealistic to think, hey, I can take a 20 to 40% drop in pay and still maintain the lifestyle that I had. Like that's unrealistic. So he's going to have to look at that. The good news is he said his family's super excited for him, which means his spouse is on board, right? So they would have talked about it. They would have known that this drop in pay was coming. So what I would advise Broken the Big Leads is, hey, look at how you spend your cash. Look at your cash flow. And particularly look at your discretionary expenses and come up with a plan that you and your wife agree on. Hey, this is what we can cut. And it might even be like, if the spouse is employed and contributing to their 401k, maybe those contributions are suspended. That might be part of it. But in terms of the discretionary, what can we cut? If there's children, in the family and they're super young, well, hey, they're not gonna notice. It's not gonna matter for them, right? If you're cutting things that maybe they were once involved with, if they are old enough to know, then here's where, again, mindset over mechanics. Where I would advise my clients is like, hey, have a conversation with the whole family and say, hey, as a family, we're making a strategic sacrifice, and everybody in the family is a part of it. And here's what it means for dad, here's what it means for mom, and here's what it means for you, right? And just introducing the children to the idea of strategic sacrifice is going to put them head and shoulders above everybody else, because they're going to see you taking a step back and you're not going towards a buy now, pay later, solution. And they're going to see you make a sacrifice during a difficult time. And then a year is going to fly by like that. You get to second year pay, third year pay, so on and so forth. And now you're reaping the benefits and the family is in a much stronger position. So I'd say that. The predictable schedule, right? So a predictable schedule means that when you're not on a trip, that you might be able to pick up some, a side gig or something with that can generate some cash flow. So I'd say like I would look at all those things before I thought about robbing a 401k, or if he rolled it to an IRA and took it. I would go through that whole process and let it be painful, let it hurt, and come up and see what you can come up with, and then go from there.
But that sounds like work, Tim. That sounds hard. That sounds like sacrifice. That's not how we do that in the United States. Shouldn't we just open a new credit card?
That's going to be giving up dinners don't you think some sort of high interest revolving debt would be a better solution?
But I do, we're making jokes, Tim, but I do, what would be some bad things to avoid? Like we mentioned a credit card, like a home equity line of credit. Are there some other pitfalls you could see people trying to tap easy money to maintain their lifestyle?
Oh man, credit card is super, that's probably the first one, right? You just swipe it and then there you go. So that's a credit card. The lesser of the two evil would be the HELOC.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably going to get a more favorable interest rate, on those dollars. But I think honestly though, so credit card, HELOC, any personal loan, like you mentioned, Dylan, but I think the bigger issue than, which strategy to tap is the mentality, because, hard times come and go, and especially in aviation, that. So if you're not able to navigate this, with the mindset that's going to get you through, good luck on accumulating actually lasting wealth, right? In that sense.
Well, the other thought I had too, Tim, is somebody that is at his stage looking forward, a lot of pilots I've noticed are very reactive. Like they're just like, I'll just figure it out when I get there. And this person is actually looking forward and having some foresight and planning, which I would say gives that person a higher likelihood of having, an emergency fund or a savings or something like that. And that's kind of was my part of my strategy is I said, okay, I have this much savings that I'm willing to dwindle down to get through year one to maintain X lifestyle, right? And so that was part of my planning process was I was like, okay, I'm going to make, I forecasted what I thought I was going to make on average per month. And then I, pretty conservatively. And then I said, okay, I can then withdraw similar to if you're retired, right? And you're drawing down a 401k and I had a monthly contribution from that savings to help bolster my income so I could maintain a little bit better lifestyle and stuff like that. So, what do you think about that?
I absolutely love it. And that's the preferred way to go. And matter of fact, that's the preferred. And for, if we talk about, guys recovering, from the pandemic, that's the way, cause Max, you got that in a non-qualified account, right? I don't know. Yeah. That's the way to go. Now broken the big leagues. He didn't mention that he had the time or those assets there. Right. But if you've got the assets, hands down, I'm on board, and that's how I'd advise you to do it.
Yeah. That's kind of like your cushion, right? To just kind of ride the ebbs and flows of life, I guess. And that's kind of how I was.
That's exactly what it's there for. And some like, I don't want to touch it. It was like, why'd you save it in the first place? That's what it's there for.
Yeah. I thought you brought up an interesting point about sitting down and having that conversation with your family, even when they're young. So, my kids are relatively young and I've had right now, coming back in during the holidays at the airlines and my lifestyles change, and I'm like, so I did that exact same thing where I was like, hey guys, I'm sure you've probably noticed, dad has been, I missed your a couple of your sports things and band carts more than usual. And that's because, right now it's a little bit tougher at work and with my schedule, but sometimes you have to suffer short-term pain for long-term gain and had to explain what that's about. And I think that also you can turn this, that's an important lesson to teach your kids that life isn't always perfect and that you sometimes have to make a decision that's going to make your life more difficult or not as enjoyable over the short term for smoother skies ahead and in the long term. And so that it was an important lesson, I think, for my kids and they understood and like, okay, yeah, no, I'm like, it's for me, but we're kind of all in this together in a sense. And so it was a good way to spin that, as well. I had to teach them, right now I'm doing, something called embracing the suck, which is I have to commute and I come in and then I can't get home and I have to spend the night and this and that, but it's short term. And if you can't, get your head too wrapped up around it, get too down about it. You just, you know what it is, what it is, and you have to embrace it. And
well, I think it's huge because one, financial education isn't taught in this country. So, you know, our children are going to see the examples like around them, right? And you just assume that it's all right, like whatever your parents are doing.
Oh my God. What's with that too? The financial education not being taught. Like, I don't understand that. How we learn about calculus and all these things, but nobody knows what an amortization schedule looks like or compounding right. interest or like all of this stuff. It drives right. me insane. And like people just hose themselves by not, it's like, this should be taught in high school, right? Do other countries teach that?
Well, I don't know if other countries teach it, but, I know we don't, and I know Dylan and I've had this conversation before where it's not taught in high school. And then when you go off to college, you're asking young people who, number one, don't have the financial education. And then number two, who've not made a substantial financial decision in their life to like sign up for sometimes what ends up being hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt without the understanding. I mean, if you understand it, and you commit to it, that's one thing, but without the understanding. So how we change it, I don't know. That's probably a whole nother.
The
reality of the matter is it's up to parents to teach their kids because they're not going to get it
that's
from
right.
school. So you got to, that's a big thing before they so
let's,
leave.
Let's shift for just a minute and let's address maybe the captains at regional airlines or maybe the pilots flying 135 that maybe think, I'm about a year away from having the experience to get that job at the major airline. What would you advise somebody that's maybe 12 months away, but know that this big pay cut could be on the horizon? What's the best way to start preparing for that?
Yeah, well, I think that we just discussed it, right? So, well, one aspect of it is to save. If you've got the capacity to save non-qualified, and if it's 12 months away.
And save, what is non-qualified? If I don't know what non-qualified mean, what is that?
Oh, that just you know, not a retirement account. So, you know, and particularly if it's 12 months away, your bank account is going to be your best friend. I mean, those dollars are sleepy dollars, right? They're not exciting. But for something that you're going to start using it in 12 months, you don't want excitement with it, you know, of the stock market going up and down.
No Dogecoin? So
what's that?
No Dogecoin then? Okay. All right.
Yeah, exactly. leave the potential for the 30% increase overnight. Like, leave that, let's set that aside. but the other part is any non-productive debt, try to get it down. There's going to be some longer term obligations that you have, maybe student loans, maybe mortgage and things like that. Those typically are going to have a more favorable interest rate, but you know, the revolving credits, the credit cards, so on and so forth. If you know you're going into a pay cut, try to get your monthly obligations down as low as you can. And your savings up at the same time.
Sounds very sensible.
It's too boring. Like, that's why people are like, yeah, I had a client coming up. We worked for like, you know, 2 years. We got all of their stuff done, the trust and the estate plan and the young guys too. And again, he said, Tim, one of our more recent meetings, he says, look, I feel like my financial life is like, it's boring. I'm like, you're welcome.
Well, Tim, I think that's some really sage advice. And, you know, with so many people shifting jobs here in the next year or two, I think we're going to have a lot more meat on the bone to discuss with you here going forward. So we're super excited about our partnership with you going forward. And we're going to encourage our listeners, you know, if you've got questions for Tim, you can shoot us in info@215podcast.com. And we'll be able to pick his brain regularly with a lot of big decisions for folks coming up. So, Tim, before we let you go, can you just explain to us a little bit about what it is you do and that fancy CFP tag at the end of your name, if you could talk a little bit about that as well.
Right, yeah. So, certified financial planner. I mean, you know, I'm a fiduciary, you know, financial advisor. And a fiduciary just simply means... You know, I put my client's interest first. And I can give you a little story of like what that means. And, you know, because everybody says, hey, I'm a fiduciary. But when the rubber meets the road, you know, earlier this year, I had a new client come on. It made sense for them not to roll a 401k for us to manage. It made sense for them to do that because then we could do some more unique, you know, backdoor Roth conversions and things like that because of their income. And I let them know, I said, hey, by you, you know, if you were to roll your 401k over, we would have made more money. But because it's in your best interest to keep it at bay, keep it inside of a that 401k structure so you can do these backdoor Roth conversions, we're not going to do that. And here's how, you know, how you can do business with us. And so it's things like that where you want to know that your advisor has your best interest in mind. And is it a fiduciary? And, you know, as they're helping you, they're not just looking out for their own pocket. So in terms of what I do, so I focus on aviation. And so folks that are in all life cycles, so that could be early career, mid-career, or late career, preparing for retirement. And essentially, it's getting your financial house in order. So you can bring your financial reality to the table and then match that with your goals and dreams. And then we chart a path. So, you know, it's all by, you know, it's like creating the flight plan for a trip. We're here today. We need to be over here. Here are the conditions that we might experience along the way. What contingencies are we going to create for them? And then let's get going, right? And so some of the decisions in folks' lives that we may decide it's a go now, it might be a no-go, it might be a later thing. You know, might be, hey, that's beyond us right now. But when we get, you know, our skills up or your more financial ability up, then we can go ahead and do those things. So what it looks like is we're meeting, I'm doing the heavy lifting with the client. So like Max, you talked about, you know, focusing on what you're good at so that my clients don't have to do it. And over time they, you know, the trust is there and so on and so forth. So did that answer your question?
So you do not specialize in driveway cement work then? That's not one of the... I love it. Tim, before we get you out of here, do you have any good stories for us?
I do have a funny story, right? And as we mentioned, so I'm not a professional pilot. So this is... I was trading to get my private and we were working on an engine out procedure, you know, in a 172. And so we're flying back to the airport. We flew over. We're a couple thousand feet above pattern. And my instructor, and, you know, we cleared it. There's nobody there. And so she's like, hey, fire in the engine. And so I'm working through the checklist, mixture, throttle, fuel off, so on and so forth. And I'm, you know, banking the plane and spiraling and so on. And I'm like, I'm descending quickly. And then she's like, all right. And then, you know, you pull forward, you model pressing the comm to get 121. And she's like, all right, cool. You got it out. Let's see if you could land it. And I think she said, I forget what she said. There was something that was inoperable, right? And so I'm starting to make my calls, you know, 7-0 go up, left bay, so on and so forth. And I made a few calls. And then on the radio, it was like, you're on 121.5, the emergency frequency. You are, this is not the Unicom. And I think that I realized that, like, as I was like on final, you know, you hear that come through. So I land the plane and I'm just like in silence, like, how did that happen? You know, I wasn't actually supposed to press the button. So every time I listen to your intro, I just have to laugh about it. Cause I'm like, yeah, that actually.
That's,
you were on guard,
Tim.
Huh?
That's your first introduction to what we as professional pilots refer to as the guard police. So this is your second appearance on 21.5 then, basically, is what you're saying.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. All right, Tim. Well, we're looking forward to checking in with you regularly, helping our listeners out with all these financial questions that they've got coming up. Your contact info will be in the show notes. If folks want to connect with you, we'll have your LinkedIn profile. You're a great follow on LinkedIn. I love all the content you post on there as well. So we'll look forward to joining you soon.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
I'm really excited about this new partnership with Timothy Pope, because we've been saying don't take financial advice from pilots, yet we keep getting the emails. So now we can throw them to somebody who knows what they're talking about. And he seems to get it. Like, I just love having conversations with him. We've had a few over, on the phone with him, and just he seems to understand what pilots need. And yeah, it's going to be really good.
I think the biggest obstacle to most people getting that advice that they probably know they need is just making that first call or for the, or email or setting the appointment or whatever. So if you've listened to that segment, you find yourself be like, yeah, you know, I should really do that. Just actually do it. Like, go make the, set an appointment on his calendar from his, the link you'll find in the show notes to his website, and have a free consultation. It's free. Pilots love, it's up to two free ones, actually. But talk to him about it. He's sharp. He knows what he's talking about. And
pull that thing back. Let it do what it do, baby. We up, baby.
Get that portfolio up, baby. Let it do what it do.
I love that. And the takeoff briefing now, I'm always like, yeah, I'm going to do take off an LNAV, VNAV, and just let it do what it do. People look at you like, what?
What? Oh my gosh. Would you want to do a check-in with Don? He's had a few videos. I could play you a couple of them if you want to, if we need to review them. I don't know.
I'm always up for a Donovan Batiste.
Okay.
Roundup.
No Band-Aid. Just slip, baby.
Romeo, stand up and I'll call you crossbones.
What did you just say? Slipping and pimping?
We ain't ground effect, baby. We ain't ground effect, baby. Just let it know when you're going to stop flying. You do what you do, baby. Kiss the ground. Hey, we in that thing.
I think that's bleeding out airspeed off. No Band-Aid. Oh, man. Good
Donovan
stuff.
Donovan Batiste. You know, I think it's time to make another pitch, because he's finally made the move to attempt to monetize his following.
And
I don't think we need to dangle the carrot of him coming on the show with our extensive listenership here to promote.
Donovan, what are you waiting for? Anything else you want to cover before we talk to Teddy McTedward?
No. Just another real uplifting conversation with Ted. Living the dream.
He's living the dream.
Major airline pilot and father.
Here we go.
He's got it all.
Commuter, father.
That's homeowner. That's a new sticker. I mean,
commuter, father, mentor, Ted.
Ted, Child Care Services.
It's been too long.
God, I want to see you with that baby.
So let's catch our listeners up, since it's been a while since we've had Ted on the show. Ted, lots happened in the last few months. You finally moved into your new house?
Got into the house. Had a baby.
And had a baby, all within like 7 days of each other, right?
Moved in the house 3 days before the baby showed up. Pretty sure it's mine.
All signs point to a Ted child. I love it. How's it going, man? How you been sleeping?
Better recently. It was a little rough the first couple months.
Looking to pick up extra trips to get in the hotel.
The old saying is true. You go to work to get sleep now.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God.
You go to work, do a soul-crushing 4 or 5 day, come home, and then you just spend 12 hours a day childcare.
So you're saying you've
this
kind of...
This is your life.
You've dropped off your CrossFit regimen?
The 2021 airline pilot is required to bring home 100% of the bacon and then also provide 50% of the child care. Just keep that in mind, young aviators out there.
Oh, my God. The reason we're calling today, Ted, to get besides the update is not only have you, it sounds like you're just having an incredible time, but you also decided to try and do a little non-rev travel with Ted Jr. Is that true? Would you like to tell that story?
Yeah. that actually wasn't too bad, unless you're a person like me that has a lot of anxiety when it comes to, like, inconveniencing people around you on an airplane, you know? Mm-hmm. And like when it's just wailing, crying, and like screaming bloody murder, and like everyone's staring at you, you don't want to just disappear.
Did you do it? Were you commuting in uniform too?
No. I actually use miles for tickets.
Oh, you actually bought tickets.
Oh, you know what I did too is I used miles for tickets because I was like, I'm not going to non-rev my first time with a child. And then I got seats right by the bathroom in the back of the airplane so I could be like out of the way, or I can duck into the galley if I needed to. I show up to the airport. It's the I commute out of Detroit, so I know every agent there. Agent sees me. She's like, "Oh, yeah, we bumped you up to first. We saw that you were flying today." I'm like, "Oh, great." Let me inconvenience every person in first class for the next hour.
So did you sit in first class?
Yeah.
Did your wife sit in first class too?
Yes, with a screaming baby.
Oh my God.
That is, well, at least isn't that the way things go? You know? Isn't that the way things go? You get like a free upgrade, and then like only when like in a situation like that. But then like you're on some like romantic weekend with your wife, you're stuck in like 43B and 35.
You're across from the bathroom that nine people are.
Yeah,
this just happened to me.
Slam on the 5 hours.
This just so I did a trip. My family came with me a few weeks ago. You know, I'm a titanium at Marriott or whatever, and I've been trying to get a suite, trying to get all these upgrades. No, nothing. You know, standard hotel room is fine, but we were there for like 4 days, you know, I need some room. Next trip, by myself, they go, "We have upgraded you to a 2-bedroom suite." So I had my bedroom plus another bedroom, plus a kitchen, plus a living room with stairs in it. And I'm just like, I can't. It's always the way it goes.
I don't even want to know what you did in the other bedroom.
It's nothing. It just, I should, yeah. So I feel your pain. So, and the first class passengers.
You non-rev with your kid and they're a little bit older and they, you know, require their own seat. And you have to tell them before you get on the plane, like, "Listen, you're going to be sitting between two strangers this entire flight, okay?" Because everybody's in middle seats and you're like, just, you know, put your headphones on, your iPad's charged. And right. I'll just meet you at the top of the jetway, okay? You don't forget your stuff. And like,
and does it work, Max?
Yeah, everybody does it. Now they're like used to it. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're going to be sitting in the middle seat somewhere. You know, I'll meet you after the flight. Grab your bag. And they have like a rollerboard too. So they got to like get their roll. I'm like, just ask somebody for help.
Wow.
My mom used to stick me on airplanes by myself. Raising self-sufficient
American. Oh, you used to UM it?
Yeah, I used to non-rev by like as like a fifth grader by myself. She had no fear. She was probably just trying to get rid of me.
Ted, you should tell the listeners, I mean, about your mom, because it's pretty cool, like what she was up to.
Yeah, she worked for, she was a flight attendant 30 years. She had some cool stories.
What was the airplane? You were telling us, I remember you tell us the airplane she was a
flight attendant. On the 707?
She flew like the DC-7, the Electra, all kinds of shit. She's like death as hell.
No way.
Yeah.
The Electra.
She can't hear anything. Yeah.
She can't hear anything.
She was like, I think it was like a, she was on a DC-6. They lost like three of the motors. I think it has four. They lost like the number three on like short, like coming over the threshold.
We need to talk to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. She had a bomb scare on a 7-4 once.
Jeez.
And like everyone got like,
we should have
straight talk with Marion.
Yeah, we should have Teddy and his mom on it sometime.
She flew JFK back, like his charter when he was running for president, flew him back to Massachusetts when Jackie O went into labor with JFK Jr.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's no charter back then. You just drive to the airport. When's the next flight?
Yeah. That was cool stories.
Wow. That is pretty cool. And now it's come full circle as you've taken your son on his first flight in first class. It's all downhill from here.
You ruined an entire first class experience.
Yeah.
How was carrying?
I think it ruined it for everyone.
How was carrying the car seats and all the jet bridge gate tags?
Well, it sucks because you're always the dead last person.
Yeah. Yep.
And I did, however, make the smart decision of buying those like red bags that covers your car seat.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we got back to Detroit, it was like a blistering snowstorm. So, and it just sat out there. I could see it. And it was just, you know, it's going to be completely wet. But luckily I had the bag. So
I feel like you're the kind of guy
in the wet car seat.
I feel like before you had kids, you're the kind of guy that would do the walk around. And then just like if you saw luggage in the way, you just sort of like kick it out of the way. Maybe. And now I feel like you have more respect.
Car seats or anything up to the jet bridge.
Now you're doing the walk around in the vest and then you carry the car seat up to the mom. Here you go.
That's not my job.
Whenever we talk about Ted and his child, the thing that always I remember is when I had like baby and Ted was over and I knew that, you know, babies kind of made Ted uncomfortable and whatever. And so I remember just walking by, just thrusting a baby into his lap and walking away and watching him just like the most uncomfortable holding of a baby. Like he didn't know what to do or what
do you
to
want me to do with this.
Yeah, it's the bad. Now he's a father. Yeah,
you're a father. Okay. You're swaddling children.
I highly recommend provide getting some type of supplemental child care for your days off.
Your days off are not days off, are they?
Ted,
there are no days off anymore.
Ted researched the...
I have two jobs. There's piloting and child care.
You're lucky
to get out of your sweatpants like once a week.
You've been researching the FARS, part 121. What's the minimum days off per month you could do overtime? Oh, you can't even really pick up that much overtime, can you?
Have you had to call and say you haven't gotten your 8 hours of sleep opportunity?
You called your wife.
I tell my wife that every night. She doesn't care.
You need to reexamine that contract you guys have.
Yeah, I need to evaluate that. I might actually consider some type of work slowdown here.
Job action.
Some type of illegal job action at the house.
Oh man.
Some type of WOE campaign, just complete withdrawal of enthusiasm.
Ted, it sounds like a great time to bid for a new...
I believe that was a United 85 slogan. Strike slogan, WOE.
Withdrawal
of enthusiasm.
United 85. Ask your mom what
I was on a United jumpsuit one. Actually, I think I was going to Max's first wedding. And the captain just pulls out a marker and just writes WOE on the ceiling of the 757. He's like, this is how we did it in 85, man. I was like, all right, man. I'm pretty sure this is 07, but I'm glad you still have the you know, still feisty over it.
Did he check the scab list too for you while you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were scab list.
You weren't on that Eastern picket. You crossed the line there in 70. Yeah. One guy asked me that, pulled out the scab list. I'm like, dude, I wasn't born for like another 15 years.
He pulled out the tattered scab list out of it.
Oh my God. That's good. Do you remember jump seating on, I used to commute from Dallas to Phoenix and that was like right during the America West merger. And then they would write all that stuff in the Airbus cockpits.
Mm-hmm. Luckily most of that has passed.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. Good time.
That was one for the ages though.
So Ted, our listeners want to know if you have any thoughts on the recent FAA change of the terminology notice to airmen to notice to air missions.
I'm not even familiar with that change.
Really?
Are you serious?
I don't even know. I don't really follow providing child care. Yeah, I don't have time for any type of work stuff like that. They could change like the saying, like to line up to wait to like, you know, position hold or whatever it is now. I wouldn't even know until I was out there.
But if they change the compound of the formula that your child is using, you'd be right up on that, right? Yeah. You're on all the emails.
I do know that one scoop of formula for 2 ounces of water. I got that down.
Holiday bidding. Now that you guys are both struggling, did you get Christmas off, Ted?
I did.
Oh, good.
Lots of movement. On purpose? One of the better Decembers. Yeah, one of the better December schedules I've ever had.
You just changed your commute. You're just living. You're high on the hog now.
Yep, got 3 trips with overnights in base or in my domicile where I live. So my overnight is where I live. So worked out.
I love it. Max, not so fortunate.
That way you can provide even more childcare. That's great, Ted.
Yeah, I don't know. Why did I do that? Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, I know. That just seems very counterproductive. That's pretty funny.
I like to also let young aviators know that it doesn't matter where you're going on your trip. You could be going to like the most worst place ever. And your wife is going to think that you're still going. Every week is a vacation.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Try having my last business aviation job and your wife is at home caring for three young kids and I'm on the beach everywhere or skiing in Europe.
Yeah.
And it was tough fun.
So
Cleveland in February. Well, enjoy your time. That sounds nice.
Enjoy your time. Oh, enjoy your big king bed all by yourself.
I bet they have a buffet downstairs, don't they?
Yeah.
You guys get free coffee before the van, huh?
Oh, don't worry. I'll call you when the baby wakes up tonight.
What the hell is going on at the hotels right now? I had a chicken salad and two beers, and it was $40 at a Marriott in Cincinnati. That's with the discount.
Jeez. Well, are you excited for 2022, Ted? Moving up the seniority list? Could you potentially be a captain molding the young minds of the next generation?
I don't know. I think I'll go do some type of wide body FO gig first.
That's probably smart because you could sleep half the time.
Yeah, good idea. What, just introduce a massive time change into your work schedule now too. That'll really be good for you. You're just maybe you should pick up smoking again, Ted. That might be good too.
Oh man, I had a little Christmas mixer on Saturday night. I had two cigarettes, and I've never felt more worse in my entire life the next day.
Listen to you, a holiday mixer? Did those words just come out of your mouth?
He's a father, and he goes to holiday mixers now.
That's it. Yep. Ted's dead. It's over. Everybody.
Yeah, I think this might be the last time we talk to Ted.
I had a holiday mixer at the house, and
Did you guys do a liquor exchange, too? A little white elephant gift?
A white elephant gift exchange.
I'll send you a picture. We did wear ugly sweaters.
Oh, Ted, you are the originator of our... Max, I'm going to post some of that on our Instagram. Remember we had the ugly
sweater and mustache party?
That was Ted's
idea.
That
was before that was a thing, too. Yeah. Like, that was very...
We did that 20 years ago.
I'd never heard of that before. Yeah.
That was strong.
I'm going to post that on the socials. So
those were some pretty pathetic mustaches we all grew.
Well, dude. Yeah, mine was the most pathetic, let's be honest.
I think we put Just For Men hair dye in your mustache, Max, to make it stand out more.
It was mascara. Mascara. I used to darken it up. Yeah, that's not sure I want to reveal that publicly, but it is what it is. It is.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think we've covered plenty of ground. I think our listeners are ready to go get a vasectomy right now.
Yeah.
Any other?
It's just funny because when we were in Ted's stage, Ted had 0.0% sympathy for us.
Yes,
it's like, why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself? And now
he's a
pant wearing. Yeah, he's a male adult sweatpant wearing nanny. That's what it's come to.
Pretty much. So I can barely get on the floor. That's what I want to know. Doesn't even bend that way. What's that?
So when are we going to Vegas, though?
I'm going to have to ask my wife.
God, I would give anything to record this and then go back 5 years and play it for you.
A time machine.
I think 5 years ago, I was. I think your dad said I had only about 13 years left.
That's right. And he's a doctor.
I remember that.
I think it was someone, and he's like, that's a great Ted's going. He's going to be dead in about 13 years.
Look at you. I'll live in the predictions. Good for you, Ted.
Who knows? It was
medical marvel.
Yeah. It's the lack of sleep that's going to be the one to get you. But
yeah, it's creeping up again.
Well, good update, Ted. We're excited for you. Yeah. Check out Notice to Air Missions next time you get there when you're doing your jet provisions.
That would require me actually to look at a release.
In Orlando with Carl,
when you're on your next vacation, when you're on your next vacation at the hotel, Ted.
Yeah, I try not to look at the flight plan or the weather at work. Because it doesn't really matter. You're going anyways.
We are recording this. I love it. All right, Ted. We will talk to you soon. Stay strong out there.
Yeah.
Say hi to Ted Jr. for us. Yeah.
Good luck.
Later.
Well, we were talking about Donovan Batiste monetizing. I think ours. I think our new 2022 merch should start with Ted's. I had two cigarettes and felt terrible. That sounds like a great sticker.
Caution, young aviators.
You be careful what you have at your. What did he call it? A holiday mixer.
Holiday mixer, and then. Nothing like bringing home the bacon and then coming home and providing all of the childcare.
Well, that was exciting. Max, what do you think? Do you think we can sneak in one more episode here before the end of the year?
Yeah.
I'm hoping so.
It depends on you. I'm available. Yeah.
Give me a break. All right. Well, we will endeavor to get you one more episode here in 2021. I want a salute to all of the air missions going out over the holidays. I know it's going to be a grind for most of us. There is a lot of
activity,
a lot of flying upcoming,
a lot of ruined holidays. It's going to be great.
A lot of delayed holidays, but
yeah, delayed. That's good. That's a glass half full approach.
It's a delayed holiday.
It's no big deal. It's this year. It's
or,
just delayed.
Or early. Yeah, it's just, you know what? There's a lot of air missions that need to be completed out there.
It is what it is, baby. Embrace the suck when you have to.
That's right.
If you're an airline pilot, you just say, we're hiring 5,000 this year across the whole industry. Next year is going to be different.
Exactly.
And if you're gonna be in business aviation, you're going to wield a lot more power, I think.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're going to have to do another episode on that soon. Okay. Well, we'll be back here one more time in 2021. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember.
Flexibility is the key to air power and surviving the holidays.
Vanguard.
The statements made in this show are our own opinions and do not reflect, nor were they under any direction from any of our employers.